Good to see this number out this morning. Always a joy to come together to worship the Lord on the first day of the week and to serve Him. And if you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you an honored guest. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing a song that's been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready this morning. You just come down the aisle and let us know your desire to be immersed into Christ. Glad to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins. And God will add you to His family, and you can be one of His children. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel and the 30th chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 1, and we'll read down through about verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, beginning at about verse 1, and we'll read down through about verse 6. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. There's no doubt in my mind that most of us, if not all of us, from time to time have come home and we've said to our loved ones, I've had a bad day. There was something about that day that we had to deal with that just kind of made it what we would call a bad day. Perhaps someone at work had annoyed us. Perhaps the boss was in a bad mood and that was passed along. Maybe you had to sit in a meeting that was contentious and tense. And I realized there were many things that cause an individual to have what we call a bad day. There are some days, if you're like me, that when you wake up, you can just tell right off the bat it's not going to be your day. But I want you to think about, there are other days that we might call an extremely bad day. And I'm talking about the days that we might call the worst days of our lives. Those days that come up that are just extremely notable for just how terrible they are. And you may ask the question this morning, what up to this point in your life has been your worst day? No doubt, when you begin to think about that question, there may be several different days that come to your mind. And the question is, what did you do or how did you handle the worst day of your life up to this point? I think it would serve each of us well this morning if we stop for just a few moments and examine what David did upon the worst day of his life at this point. Later on in a few weeks, we may look at another individual, what he did. But this morning, we want to focus on David and what David did on the worst day of his life up to this particular point. The first thing I want us to do is go back and look in 1 Samuel and the 30th chapter and notice that David is in the city of Ziklag. And most likely, David should not have been there. But if you remember that David had gone out with his men to battle, and when David is out to battle, the Amalekites come, and the Amalekites burn the city. And they destroy the city, they kidnap the women and the children, they take their possessions. Now notice when David and the men come back to the city of Ziklag, they notice that all is gone. They see the ashes of the city, they see their wives and children are gone. And no doubt, this put a great amount of fear in their heart. In fact, notice how the men respond. In your Bible, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, notice it says in verse 4 that David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Can you imagine seeing these great men of war, these warriors, if you will, coming back from their battle, their battle-worn, their individuals who've seen great things in battle? No doubt they've seen great events in life, and yet now they come home and their wives and their children are gone. They see the city burn, and the Bible says they begin to weep until they had no more power to weep. I don't know if you've ever had that in life. Maybe at the funeral of a loved one, maybe at a tragic time in your life where you wept and you wept and you wept and you cried till you had no more power to cry anymore. Well, here were the men, the warriors at this time, and they wept until they no longer could weep anymore. They shed so many tears, their energy was gone. So I look at that and I think about these men in the city of Ziklag. And notice their response. They're looking over the city. They're looking over the ruins of Ziklag. They did not know if their family was alive or dead. And here they are weeping, sobbing. And they want to know what's happened to their family. What has happened to all that they held dear. But then if you take your Bible in 1 Samuel 30, notice they become bitter towards David. Look, if you will, that they become distressed in verse 6, and they are speaking of stoning David. Here is the leader, the one they've been following, David, the general of this army. And they look at David and they begin to blame David for the fact their family had been kidnapped. They blame David for the fact their possessions were gone. And they begin to look at David and say, you know, he would be better off dead. They blamed David and became bitter towards David, saying the whole reason this happened is because of that man. So in anger and pain, they wanted to strike out against someone, and David was an easy target. He was, after all, the leader. Then I want you to recognize the problem. They had lost focus on who the real enemy was. Instead of looking out at the Amalekites who had come in and destroyed the city and had kidnapped their families, they looked at David as the enemy. They said David is the one to be blamed. In their distress, they lost focus of the fact it was the Amalekites who did this. This was the worst day they had faced. Here was a time of great distress and heartache, and they began to strike out against the wrong individual. But then if you take your Bible, notice what David did on the worst day of his life at this point. Of all the news David had, his wives had also been kidnapped. His children had also been taken captive. David had also saw his possessions gone. David had recognized that the city had been burned. And now David thinks, they're wanting to stone me. So look at what David does. If you take your Bible, notice David weeps. He too had lost everything, and this cut to his heart. But notice David does not become bitter. Notice that David did not follow the example of the men, but David set the proper example. These men had followed him by their own choice, at their own peril. Now they faced a situation and they're greatly pained. They look at David, who as in their mind is their king, even though he's not overthrown Saul at this point yet. And then I want you to note they begin to say, let's kill him. And David hears this, but notice David does not return with the same hostility. David does something we need to take note of. And I want to tell you, I don't know how many lessons I've preached from 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, but I believe one of the most powerful statements you'll find in verse 6 is that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. David didn't have anywhere else to look. David could have looked out at the men who followed him, who at one time were his friends, but now they're not his friends. They're wanting to put him to death. So David, what are you going to do? David had nowhere else to look, so David said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. His family was gone. His belongings was gone. His army had turned against him. He was dealing with pain. He was dealing with hurt. So what does the man do in a time like this? David turned to the Lord. I've often thought about David at that time. I wonder, did he begin to sing some of the psalms that he had written? I wonder, did he go back and sing the 34th Psalm? I do not know, but one thing I do know is David strengthened himself in the Lord. In a time of uncertainty, in a time of upheaval, in a time of trouble, God was David's constant. God did not and does not change. And no matter what, God is still on His throne above all. And David recognized when he had nowhere else to turn, he could turn to God Almighty. But then I want you to notice something else. David didn't limit the power of God. David recognized that God was bigger than any of his troubles. If the evil one could distract him away from God, he would get depressed. He would lose his strength. But David said, I'll tell you what I need to do. I need to put my faith, my confidence in my God. But then notice what he did. Go back and look, if you will, in 1 Samuel 30, and notice that David prayed unto God and followed his command. Look at verse 7. David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake him? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Notice that David prayed about the matter. He sent for Abiathar. He took the ephod. He prayed. He waited on the word of the Lord. And when he received the word of the Lord, he did exactly what God had commanded. But I want to tell you something else David did. On the worst day of his life, David refocused his vision on the enemy. Look at what he did. He went to the men of the army and he told them the word of the Lord. He said, God said, pursue them. God said, we need to follow them. God said, we need to overtake them. And he reminds them in a subtle way, we should not be fighting amongst ourselves. I'd read a story about two men who were fighting on the ship. And Lord Byron came up on the deck and he sees these men fighting. And he stops the fight and he says, gentlemen, I don't know what this is all about. But I do know one thing. I know we have an enemy and he's out there. I want you to stop and think about the fact that when the people of David, his army, began to fight amongst one another, they were not doing what God would have them to do. They were bringing themselves down even further. They were blaming one another. They were bickering with one another, bitter towards one another. And what David just says is, don't turn on each other and don't blame me either. Let us go after the real enemy, the Amalekites. You ever thought they needed to focus on the problem? And focus on the real enemy and not the circumstance and result of such. But that brings up another thought in our study. Have you ever thought they regained strength and attacked the enemy? Have you ever thought that when you read that they come down, and even when they come down in verse 9, there were 200 men that stayed behind at Brook Besor because they were so weary. But the rest of the men cross over and they defeat the Amalekites. And I thought about the fact they regained their passion and they regained their focus and they regained the anger towards the real enemy. They attacked the enemy. They didn't just sit back and wish it away. No, my friend, they were ones who were willing to attack. Now, there were some who were unable to attack, and yet notice what happened. The others bore the burden for them. And no doubt when they returned, some resented the fact that those who didn't go to battle were still going to be blessed. But David said, reward them the same. Now then, if you take your Bible back in 1 Samuel 30, notice something else. Have you noticed they recovered all? Here David went into the battle knowing this truth. Open your Bible for just a moment to the 56th Psalm. Psalm 56. And when you come to the 56th Psalm, look, if you will, at verse 9. Then my enemies will turn back. This I know. Now, why do you know this? He said, because God is for me. You want to know why David was able to fight the enemy and David was able to go up against the enemy? David recognized God was with him. And he said, this I know, God is for me. He went into the battle knowing he would be victorious and that he would recover all because God had promised it. And then I think about the fact they were victorious and that the men recovered all. And I want you to understand this was just exactly as God had spoken. But notice, my friend, they gave to the others. When David did not come back, David came back. Notice he wasn't interested in hoarding up riches. He sent gifts to at least 13 elders of Judah. He sent gifts to those who had befriended him in exile. Now, what I want to do is take that. I want to make several points about application in the lesson series. I want to raise a question. What have you done on the most tragic day of your life? And I want to know this morning, how will we respond to a tragic day? First, I don't know what you have faced in life. Maybe you have had to face the death of a loved one. And that sting is just as fresh today as it was the day you lost it. Maybe you've got a call from a doctor and got a diagnosis you didn't like to hear. Maybe you're having problems in your home life and it just seems like there's always contention. I don't know what the problem might be in any one of your homes. But I do recognize that we will face days that are bad. In fact, we might call them some of the worst days of our life. And the question is, how are we going to respond? Notice how David responded. First, David wept. And you know something, my friend? That's good. Sometimes we just need to sit down and weep. I've had some people say, oh, I'd never cry. I want to tell you, my friend, sometimes crying's good because it's an emotional release. And here is David, the mighty warrior, David who killed the giant, David who led the army, and David at this time wasn't ashamed to shed tears because of the hurt he was facing. But secondly, notice David didn't grow bitter. And I want to tell you, my friend, bitterness will never help you. Oftentimes we get bitter towards the wrong person. Sometimes I've seen some get bitter towards God. And I want to tell you, my friend, on the worst day of your life, the last thing you need to do is add another problem. And bitterness is another problem. You want to know what bitterness is like? Just hold your hand as tight as you can until it begins to hurt. That's what bitterness is. Bitterness and unforgiveness and anger is just clenching your fist all the time. It's that tension. And sometimes we stay bitter, we stay angry, and I'll tell you what you need to do is just let it go. Have you ever thought that when you let it go, your hand is at ease, your mind is at ease? And here were individuals in that day, they were so bitter, they said, let's kill David. But notice David didn't become bitter. But notice what David did do. David refocused on who the real enemy is. And you know, you and I need to do that. Do you recognize this morning your brothers and sisters in Christ are not the real enemy? Do you know who the real enemy is? The devil. Open your Bible and notice in 1 Peter 5:8 that he says your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's your enemy. And you know what else I need to understand? I know him to understand he's going to look for the times when I'm weak. He's going to notice those bad days in life. And on the worst day of my life, he's going to do whatever he can to cause me to fall further from God because he knows that's when I need God the most. That's why in 1 Peter 5:9, he says, you resist him. Don't give in to him. You remember, he's the enemy. Your brethren are not the enemy. Your family's not the enemy. I'll tell you, it's the devil that's the enemy. But I'll tell you another thing. We need to learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. You know, you can't always depend on other people. I believe most of the time we can find someone, but there's sometimes, like in David's case, everyone had turned on him. And David turned to the only one that he could really lean on and depend on at that time. And he said, God, I need you. And David strengthened himself in the Lord. Have you ever strengthened yourself in the Lord? But then I want you to think of one other thing in the lesson. One day, if we're in Christ, no matter what we've lost here, we'll recover it in heaven. We'll have the victory. No matter what we've lost while we've lived here, if loved ones were in Christ, one day we'll see them again. No matter what pain and persecution we faced here, one day it'll be worth it all. When we're in heaven. And you know what that shows me? While I'm here, I need to share with others so they too, one day, can be with God. I got some news for you, and I hate to say it. I don't know what your worst day's been up to this point, but there's a chance you'll have an even worse day. But I'll say this to you in all kindness and candor. Your worst day here compares to nothing to what it will be like in the glory of heaven to be with God. And at the same time, your worst day here compares to nothing if you miss heaven and you go to hell. Your worst day here will be nothing compared to the torment. Tell you what we need to do. Put our focus back on God. Have you thought about the blessing of God? Have you thought about what God will be able to do? And we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, we pray you come. Let's together stand and sing.